We praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you so much. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search. I've tried to do it. And I come back around and there is none. There is none. I want you to know there is none. There is none. There is none. If you know what I'm talking about, tell him there is none. There. Your brothers from a mighty long ways. There is none.
Things I used to do, don't do no more.
There is. Things I used to say, can't say no more. There is none like you. There is none. Like you, 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 in his presence is fullness of joy. You know what? There are so many people who have no understanding of why they have been created. But during our time here, we're going to talk on some of these things. Your life is going to change. You may be looking at me now and wondering, but you're not going to be the same from this day forward. Lift your hand and praise him right now. I prophesy to you. Your way of looking at the world, the way of looking at life, what you do every day is going to be different because of this occasion, this 38th anniversary, this time of meeting. I want you to just lift your hand and receive that right now. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. I receive. Praise you, Jesus. Shanedi Guru Oshan. Now I want to start by telling you this. There will never be another you. There will never be another you. In the eyesight of God, he sees you as unique, as an original, and one of a kind. I want you to receive that right now. As an original and one of a kind, he wants eternity to understand and teach us that he doesn't make duplicates. He makes originals to prove that he is not a copycat and that he is I am. I want you to look at people right now and say, there'll never be another you. There will never be another you. There will never be another you. There will never be another you. Now let me give you another little thing here. I don't even know how long we're going to preach, but we got to start right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't even know we're going to talk about this, but this has got to be said. Because it's important. God, our Father, you can take your seat, because some of y'all are older, has never had one evil thought about you. Say that with me. Not one evil thought has he ever had about me. Praise him right there. Come on, you might have slapped the devil in the head. How you know, Bishop? Well, I used to think he would, when I did good, he would think good about me. When I blow it, all of a sudden he would change. But I learned something that he is, I am, which means he's everywhere, in every place, and involved and very present. Amen. And since he's everywhere and he can do everything and he's always present, he never changes. He says this about us. I think no evil. Love. Say, when say love, thinks. Do what? Y'all kind of quiet. And he is what? Love. So when he looks at you, when he sees you, he's not trying by any means to do anything in your life but for you to realize that there is a uniqueness between you and himself. You're the only you. And so he has something very special for you, which a love, watch this, a love for you that's been designed specifically for you to enjoy. Praise him right there. I said, praise him right there. I don't even know if we're going to go any further. But so many people are born, live, and die and don't realize that they have a father who can give everybody love at the same time. And that we have been created for that, not only in this world, but through all eternity, to experience the uniqueness that he has for us individually and for what he has for us collectively, all at the same time. So you were not born to be a mistake. You were born to enjoy him. And in him we live, move, and have our what? I want to ask you a question. Are you really enjoying that love? Or are you just taking it for granted and you just get up in the morning and go along your merry way and you just go out and, you know, drink your coffee and have your breakfast, not realizing that I'm not just some anybody just woke up this morning. But the Bible lets us know that if any man be in Christ, there's an intent. There's an intent that if you're in Christ, you are not going to be a new creation. You are already what? New creation for what? Why do you need to be a new creation? Why can't you just be like you used to be? Because you were designed and you were given permission to be in this world. You were designed to be connected to him forever. So many people, they're born, they live, they're born again, they hoop and holler and shout and go all over the place. But if you ask them, do you know why you woke up? You woke up because he has design you to meet him every day. He's designed you to have a conversation with them every day. Why do you need that? This is why some of us in the church, we really don't get into the purpose for us being here. If somebody says, I love you, and I love you so much until I just make one you. And they say, but I've got something for you, and I want to exchange. That's what love does. Love gives. And so love that God has given us has been really a unique thing. This love is himself. Say it with me. This love is what? I can't hear you. Come on, say it like you mean it. Ah, yeah, love. You say you love your wife, you love your babies, but if you're born again, you got to understand that this is unique love. This is not something you can make up. This is something that's real. But most people don't realize this little bitty secret that when God wakes you up, watch this, he wakes himself up. What? I told you he was everywhere and he can do anything. And if he can get you to understand that when you wake up, the reason that you got to sleep because he wants to watch over you. He wants you to rest from your labors. He wants you to be refreshed. This is a beautiful thing. I want to run a few minutes. That while you're sleeping and you are in a place where you don't even know anything is moving around you, you don't know, praise God, if there's anything going on in the world, he's there looking right at you as you sleep. Praise his name. I said, praise his name. Come on, somebody. Come on. How you know, preacher? Because he told me. He's given in the word of God to us for us to have pictures, for us to see things, for him to use our imaginations. That while we're sleeping and while we're here on this earth, he's watching over us. He's looking at you. He's rejoicing over you. Do you know what it is to be a father? She's not thinking, well, she's going to get up, and he's going to get up, and they're just going to keep. No. He says, I promised you, watch this, I will never, come on, talk to me, say, I will never leave you. Say it again. Act like you can preach. Now, that's pretty good. But then he tops it off a little bit more and he says, and I will never. Come on, is anybody up in here? I will what? Come on, I will what? Oh, I will, I can't, I won't. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Come on and shout, somebody. See, this is what, David knew this revelation. God just don't step out of your life and step back in and step out of your life and step back in, because before he forms you, he knows you. And he creates you for that which he already saw that he wanted you to do, but be and become. That's before you. So you is for that which he has already said is to be. Your problem is you don't get in a situation and be positioned. We're positioned not to hear this kind of stuff. For some people, it takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Some people, it take a whole lifetime just to know that he never had an evil thought about me. Shout, somebody. I
I said, shout somebody.
Ah, he's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. He gave me the victory.
So many people doubt him, and I got to tell you something. I can live without him. Ah, that's why I love him so. Say he's real. You act like you don't know it. Say he's real. Say it again. Say it again. Stop acting like he is a God that's not real. Ah, let me tell you where that apathy comes from. It comes from the Greek mentality. That's what 17 Acts is about. Talking about the unknown God. And Paul comes to tell you about a known God. The kind that never has an evil thought about you. The kind that will never leave you nor forsake you. See, Greek mentality, there's three types of cultures in the Word of God. Number one is the Hebrew culture. Number two is the Greek culture. Number three, it is the I am culture. And so many of us have been tormented by a lack of excitement. That's Greek. Or like this. This is what has come down to America. That you only hang out with the Lord on Sunday morning. That's Greek mentality. In other words, you really have no contact with God until you go to the temple. In other words, you do whatever you want to do the other days of the week. Because he's way off. Zeus is way off somewhere. Paul comes to tell you, let me introduce you to I am. The creator that made everything. Has a covenant with you, not to just to create you, but to live with you. To walk in you. To talk with you. To have conversations with you. Live with you and talk to you. Hold you in his own. Come on and praise him, somebody. Ah, when you wake up in the morning, you got to understand that you're not just waking up to start a day. You're waking up to greet him. You're waking up to talk to him. Not drink a coffee. Not to have your iPhone and your iPad. Who gave them life? Who gave that iPad life? Don't you know that that thing is leading to something bigger? That's leading to this whole mentality of AI, artificial intelligence. Well, you'll be talking to a person and it will be not a person. It's opened up portals of darkness, man, for the Satan to come down. He's already sleeping with us with those iPhones. You can take that iPhone. And it wants to be omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. And you can pick up any place in the world. Just like that. This is the forerunner of the Antichrist. And so he's trained us, that spirit has trained us to wake up with an object. Then the creator of the universe. We'll get around to him later. In other words, this is a token from the Antichrist. The Antichrist is anti-Christ, against Christ, substitute Christ. Go to church only on Sunday. Worship when you get ready. Somebody said, what is that? Well, that's Greek mentality, and that's the reason there's no power in the house. Because you're trying to, you know, fake it, try to get some power from somebody else. But he didn't create you to get power from somebody else. Oh, he's the powerhouse. I said he is the power source. In him we live and we move and have our being. Come on, he would have charged you up. Say, charge me up, Lord. Say it again. Ah. Let's run in your machine. Who's charging you up spiritually? Who's charging you up in your mind? who's charging you up in your body. That's why the saints are all afflicted and sick and can't hardly move and can't hardly get around, because they don't know the mystery of God. It's not to live like everybody else, but to live like you, the son and the daughter of Almighty. To look like you be 75 and 80 years old. We had people in our church 90-some-odd years old, and you couldn't even tell it. Come on, praise him right now. Come on, bless his name. If you follow me, we're trying to get you the way back to the way it really originally was in the first century. Most of those people didn't die for the most part until it was time, and then they died from persecution or death. In the church, that thing came in and said, the devil said, I can't let y'all do this. We're going to have to keep you with that Greek mentality. So it's been inherited down through time that we only think about the Lord once a week. And then they say, get ready so we can go to church. Well, that's a myth also, because you're not going to church. You are the church. I said, you are the church. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that you are connected to the head, which means you're the body of Christ. You're the body. Do you understand that you're the body of Christ? That simply means that God in history has always had a place of habitation in the earth. And that habitation now is the body of Christ. It's deeper than it was in prior times. This takes us to another dimension that you just don't wake up and go all about your business. How many know if you got up in the morning and your arms went one way and your legs went one way and your head trying to figure out where you are? How many know that's disconnect? How many know that's chaos? That's what the Greek thinking does. It separates you from your head. It separates you from your anointing. It separates you from your reason for being alive. So you're born in a time, you live, you move the earth, you move through time, and when you look back, you have never been connected to I am, the real reason. And so I like to close by saying this. And we'll finish this at 4 o'clock, because if I start going with this, we'll be here another 5 hours. The mystery of the Lord is that you meet yourself for the first time. You haven't met yourself. What you've met is an imitation, a Greek philosophy, an antichrist. Greek philosophy is controlled by demons and fallen angels. That's why he says, come out of her, my people. Come out of the Greek mentality. Come out of this whole concept that God is here and God is God says, I wake you up so I can use you. I need a body on your job. I need a body in your family. That body is the body of Christ. Well, whose spirit is it? Christ in you. Come on, say, Christ in me. What is that for? Hope. Say it with, say, hope. Say it like you mean. So when I walk in the schoolhouse, when I walk in the neighborhood, people begin to say, uh-oh, here come hope. We, our plan, our business might be going down, but guess what? Hope of glory, of splendor, of magnificence. Christ in you. Christ in you. Not the Antichrist. That's why he hated. Christ in you. What do you think the devil sees when he sees Christ in you? What do you think the devil sees when he sees you sleep in Christ in you? What do you think the devil thinks when he sees you meeting yourself for the first time and realizing Christ is in me? In the name of Moshiach. Bless your hand and praise him right now. I said, praise him right now. I said, praise him right now. She didn't ask me to lay hands on her. But you got to understand, your mission is not to let something come in your midst when the hope is there. Praise God. Lay your hands on yourself if you're saved. Say, hope is here. Because if you ain't saved, you ain't no hope. But you got it, but you got to receive it. Amen. Pardon me. But you have to come to meet the intimacy of he who is, who was, and is to come. You must understand that he is a feeling, intimate God. He is a God of compassion. He's a God of love. He's a God that just wants you to have a little intimacy with him. Like this. If he's watched you all night long, didn't leave his post, watch you take every breath, and by the way, every breath comes from him. He gave you your first breath, he'll take your last breath. But this is a mystery that you need to know. He gives you every breath. You didn't get that revelation. No one breathes without his permission. The devil is not the author of breath. That's what messes him up. He tried to use you because he knows God gave you that breath, and he tried to run a game on you to use you for his business, and God gave you the gasoline to get you going. He gave you the fuel. It's in himself. Saint or sinner. He gives the breath. He gives the breath. He gives the breath. Say it. He gives. Come on, say it. He. Come on, say it. Come on. Children, come on. What are you doing, preacher? You give him glory. You give him praise. And you give him the devil a black eye. All the enemy uses you. He is a puppet master. He uses stuff that he has not created. He uses people that didn't come from him. He's a master. He's a manipulator. The Bible lets us know something about him. His time is very short. His manipulation is about to be over. And the people of God are coming back to the truth. Come on and praise him right now. Come on, bless him right now. I said the people of God are going to have some swagger in these last days. Because they're going to realize that I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So he wakes you up every day, looks at you as you take every breath. While you're sleeping and don't know you're breathing, he's giving you your next breath. Preacher, why does he do that? Because he wants something from you. That everything that have breath, do what? I can't hear you. So what if you were an enemy of God and you hate God and you want to take his throne, what is it that he would try to keep you from doing every day? Huh? So what would he do? He would give you substitutes to get you involved in Spain. I'll talk about the next thing. Involved with all kind of busyness all your life. And you never gave him one reason for your breath. You created houses and lands. You created great business. You have great business skills. You travel the world. Then he looks you in your eyes and says, when are you going to give me my stuff? When are you going to give me my stuff? This is a command. And I tell people all over the place, even if you're a heathen, if I can get you to praise God, it won't be long before you'll be transformed. Ain't nobody got to tear you no 25 minutes or half hour. When you start giving life to the purpose of your breath, everything in your life changes. You get healing. Your body is transformed. Your mind is renewed. If you're crazy, all of a sudden it goes. Crazy people praising God can't stay crazy. What's the cure for all these things? Praise the Lord. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him when the sun going down. If you don't know what to do, you gotta praise the Lord. If you don't know how to get joy, you gotta praise the Lord. If you want to be renewed, praise the Lord. If you want your sons and daughters to be free, praise the Lord. And then teach them how to praise the Lord. Help them to understand this is the way out. This is the way out. If I had 1,000 tongues, I would still praise him. Hey! Take your property back. Take your family back. Take your life back. Take your purpose back. Take the meaning you wake up back. Begin to get up in the morning. I don't care what you're going through. And begin to open your mouth wide about he is who he says he is. And you ought to have an attitude. You ought to be getting mad with the devil. You shut my mouth long enough. Oh, I'm going to praise him. In the morning, I'm going to praise him. On the way to work, I'm going to praise him. In my car, I'm going to praise him. On my job, I'm going to praise him. In the church, I'm going to praise him. In my house, I'm going to praise him. Ah, I got to praise him. Can't shut me up. And I will tell you in the next service, the connection between that mystery of being secure, where you've been all kind of pinned in, where you're standing up shoulders back, where you're so full of guilt you can't say anything. And you look at the devil and say, I'm still going to praise him. What you going to do? I'm still going to pray. Because everything in your life is to shut your mouth up. It's to shut your mouth up. It's to shut your mouth up. If I can shut you up, because every time you're praising, the devil says, my time ain't long. Every time you're praising, you're letting him know God is still your boss. Every time you're praising, you let the devil know, look at what you lost out on. You used to be the master praise leader. But look at me now. I have taken your place. Come on, praise God. Oh, glory to God. Now, when you start acting like this, guess what? Demons begin to say, better leave them alone. You know why? Because demons cannot stay in the presence of a saint who begins to praise the Lord. Now here's the key. This is all mystery. You got it. When you praise the Lord, it's the Lord praising the Lord. I said, when you praise the Lord, that's the Lord looking at himself. Oh, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. When you praise the Lord, it's the Lord looking at himself, looking through you at himself. Because he can see you from the distance here, but he can see you from himself because he's in you. He's both places at the same time. He's looking at you, then he's looking back at himself, and he's seeing you in the middle. Woo! Glory to you. Didn't Jesus say, I always do what I hear my Father? What was the Father? The Father was in him, but the Father was in heaven. Come on, praise God. He in the wilderness, Father in heaven, Father in him, praise God in the wilderness. And that's what church is all about. You praising him from him. Him inside of you. Him in heaven. Him in China. And the whole church is now praising God. God looking at himself. That's why he's birthed you, so you would never die. Because God has created you to be a holy habitation. A place of himself. I am in I am. I am praising I am. I am walking. I am living in you. I am moving in you. Hallelujah. Let the whole earth begin to praise him. And it gets so tight until he said, let the little birds praise me. Everything I created has a reason to praise. Because they got something that the devil didn't make. The devil didn't make your body. The devil ain't gonna heal you. The devil didn't give you them children. Every time he looks at you and your children, he smiles. The Lord smiles and says, that's another one of mine. And then he said, I'm going to steal, kill, destroy. I'm going to train you to be very negative to your children. I'm going to train you. I'm going to train you to make the children do that. They got to do so much to be accepted. I don't care you think you're not a success. Hey, man, you're not a success because you do anything. You're a success because of who you belong to. So today, 4 o'clock, we'll be back here. You're going to begin to be introduced to yourself for the first time. And what a joy when you meet yourself for the very first time. For the very first time. I thought I knew myself. Then we will give you some information on how to enter into that place. Meeting yourself. Knowing yourself daily. And walk in victory from that position. To walk in life. The Bible called it newness of life. Which means you don't have 2 days just alike. Stop living back there. And living right here. A new day. Once you get this concept and understanding your mind, you will not forsake another day spending time with him. For that's the reason he called you. That's the reason he's protected you. And that's the reason he allowed you to meet people that God places in your life. So you don't get caught up in religion, which is you doing something for him. You're doing something from him. Not for him. You're receiving from him and he's transferring something through you. It's him through you to him and others. And you're just a conduit. That's why he wants you healthy. That's why he wants you healed. That's why he wants you to make sure that your sons and daughters for generations, the secret to your life, if you get this, that it's never been about your physical lifetime. God can create you for your physical lifetime. Because I'm going to tell you, why. He didn't create you for this, for just this world. This physical one-time shot. God's purpose for you is from generation to generation. From generation to generation. Come on, praise him right there. Come on, praise him. So if your time comes, you look around your table as the patriarchs and you see the manifestation of God in Isaac and Jacob and your grandchildren. And you bless them because you know I am is going to continue in this earth. You don't want to raise kids and all of a sudden you look back at your last day and all you got is a bunch of heathens around your bed full of guilt. Full of shame, full of disconnection because they never understood the true love of God. They never understood a father that would pick you up in the arms and look you in the eye and bless you every day. Not only that, the mystery of fathering is for you to kneel before your children. Kneel down. Kneel down before your children. look them in the eye and prophesy to them. Break the curses over their lives. Send them out into the world blessed, not full of guilt and shame. You got to be a doctor. You got to be a lawyer. No, you just got to be what God called you to be. I got to go. The teaching that we have, many of us have received, it came down through what we inherited from the slave trade. If anybody needs to meet themselves, we need to meet ourselves. We don't have a clue. That's why they're killing up one another. They don't have a clue. That's why you have so much stuff in the world. Don't have a clue. This millennial age is hot, potentially hot for God, because they want something that's real. And you kept giving them religion. You kept giving them something that wasn't real because they saw how you lived when you came home. Greek mentality. You live one way in public and you live another way in private. That's Greek. It's always a false face. Never genuine. In other words, soon as you step out of your house, you put on your fake mask. You speak to somebody and you say hello. And then you look back, oh, I can't stand him. Fake, your kids read that. Your offspring read that. And guess what that transmit to them? How to live a lie. Mama, I saw you go to church on Sunday. I saw you at Reverend Walker's church. I saw you. But as soon as you got home, and I said something, you almost cursed me out. Now, what happens if you grow up like that and you become a parent? All you transform is hypocrisy because you never met yourself. When you don't meet yourself, you become a hypocrite, a phony you, pretending, giving airs, been trained by the puppet master, pulling your string. Don't even know how to love your husband. Don't even know how to respond to your wife. Don't even know what a holy touch is. Don't have any idea of what true love is coming from two people who have met themselves. Faking out, looking at TV, talking about that's how you love. How you know how to love? How can the TV teach you about how to love your wife as Christ loved the church? You certainly can't get this on the television. You probably won't get it on your iPad. It's teaching how to cheat, steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I come that you might have what? I love that name still. And that you might have it what? Meeting yourself for the first time will pack this place out. I would say in a couple of years, you will not be able to contain this place with one service. Because the world and the millennials are looking for something that's real. And the only thing that's real is I am that I am. I am the resurrection of the life. Stop giving them religion. Stop talking about your church and begin to talk about the truth that he revealed to you personally with your conversation. Let me go. Come on, let's go. Can you say amen? Come on, let's lift up. Come on, come on. I turn over whoever. Praise God. I'll get you back tonight. Amen. What time is it back? 4:00? Let's praise him right now. Come on, praise him right now. Oh, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Bible says, open your mouth wide.